Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 19 through 25 this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. If you don't have your own copy of God's Word, you can open up to page 1380 in the Pew Bible. 1380 in the Pew Bible in front of you if you don't have your own copy of God's Word. And as you're opening up there to Hebrews chapter 10, I want to mention just two things, maybe three. One, and I forgot to mention this during our groundbreaking emphasis, in case y'all didn't know, some of y'all might have thought Charlie looked familiar. That's because Charlie grew up here at First Baptist Church Gadsden, and so we're blessed to have someone whose parents are involved here and who is a former member here, grew up here at the church as our contractor. So we rejoice in that. Something else I want to mention, though, is do y'all notice how beautiful these flowers here are? They are here in honor of June McCurley, who has a birthday right now. And so, June, we love you and we're thankful for you. June's our WMU president. And I know I don't mention everybody's birthday from the pulpit, but since the flowers are here and June does so much to impact what we do here at First Baptist through the WMU and other areas, I just wanted to say happy birthday to Gene McCurley, and thankful for you. Thankful for you, Jeannie. You're wonderful. So I also want to mention, who all's tired from VBS? Anybody tired from VBS? Y'all saw the slideshow earlier. We got some folks that are probably worn slam out from VBS. Well, I've got good news for you. You've got another camp coming up here in just a few weeks. Our McSpadden Music Camp is coming up June 27th through 30th. We've had lots and lots of kids sign up already for this. Lots of people who are non-church members, people from the community who want to come here. And we still need help with this. We still need scholarships for kids. We still need, if you want to help offset some of the cost of the camp, we still need workers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So here coming up in a few weeks. And if you're a child who's interested in coming to music camp, you're going to learn about music. You're going to learn about serving the church. You're going to get lunch every day. You're going to get a free t-shirt. It's going to be a really cool day. And then there's going to be a concert on that Thursday night, June 30th, where the kids kind of share what they've learned that week in the concert. So that's a Thursday night. So it's going to be a really, really good opportunity. We're looking forward to seeing how the Lord uses it for us. And so anyway, y'all saw all those kids coming down for Children's Church. So we praise God for that. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. If you've got your Bibles open, would you go ahead and stand with me out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God. The author of Hebrews writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in such a way that as the words on this page are being read, God Himself is speaking to you. Beginning in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You so much for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray even now that You would bless us during this time of worship. Open our hearts and minds to receive Your Word and to be changed by it. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, we can build all the buildings we want to build. We can make all the buildings we have as pretty as we want to make them. We can work on as many things as we want to work on. We can do as many things as we want to do. But if the people who constitute the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ here at First Baptist Church of Gadsden, and if those who are meeting inside those glorious facilities, if those people do not constitute a healthy church according to the Word of God, then all that we do is for nothing. We are called to something better, something higher, something greater than helping architectural and construction companies grow. We are called to something better than preserving historical buildings. We are called to something more important than making sure we have beautiful and good children's facilities. We are called to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the previous weeks, what we've been talking about is the way that Christ's sacrifice applies to our own hearts and lives. But here in this text, in verses 19 through 25 of Hebrews chapter 10, we start to see the author of Hebrews begin to talk to those who are reading his letter, and he's beginning to tell them the way they ought to behave in the Christian community they're a part of, how they ought to exist in the local church. Today we consider what church under the blood of Christ looks like. Today we consider how it is that Christ's sacrifice builds a healthy church. Now when we think about church, we often think about all the trappings of church. We think about the organization of the church, we think about the church office or the ministers on staff, or we think about the groups that meet there, or we think about the building and the facilities. But little kids usually get it better than we do when they think about the church and they say, here's the church, right? And here's the steeple, and you open it up and there's all the people. You see, people are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing cracks me up harder than when people complain about their church. It makes me laugh a lot of the time because people will talk about their church and say, yeah, those people down there are hypocrites and this and that. And I just, that church. I always say, man, they sure didn't seem to have a problem letting you become a member at that church. Sure does seem like you had no problems getting in. They sure didn't seem to want to run you off. Apparently, you're just like the rest of them down there at that church. In other words, people always want to cast the blame on others, but if we are going to have a healthy church, we must be the sort of people who are healthy Christians. And as healthy Christians, we must constantly keep an eye toward us being a part, one of the living stones that build up the church, and us being healthy on our own as well. So today, I want to give each and every individual who's listening to this sermon 3 points from this text on how you can grow as a healthy church member. Therefore, if we are all growing as healthy church members, we will have a healthy church. So today, let's look at 3 ways that Christ's sacrifice builds a healthy church by changing its members to be healthy church members. Here's the first point today. The first way that Christ's sacrifice builds a healthy church: healthy church members walk close to Jesus. Church members walk close to Jesus. I have some friends, and I'm friends with several of them on Facebook, who are not believers, and some of whom even would consider themselves agnostic or atheists. And I love being friends with those sorts of people and trying to be a Christian witness to those sorts of people, because throughout the course of my life at different times, I've had significant doubts about the Christian faith. And so the Lord sometimes can use me to help some of those folks see the things that I saw that have helped me become and stay a Christian. But oftentimes the argument that my friends who are atheists and agnostic make is that they don't need a set of rules to tell them to be good. One time a friend of mine posted a picture on the internet. And he said something like, if you need the threat of hell to make you a good person, you're not really a good person. And what I told him simply was, we are not good people as Christians because we're afraid of hell. We do not, as Christians, choose to live godly and holy lives because of the fear of hell. And they said, well, what do you mean? And I said, we believe in the grace of God. If my righteousness were what it took to stay out of hell, I could never be righteous enough. What we need is the gospel of Christ. And so my favorite response to when someone says, I don't need a list of rules or the threat of hell to tell me to be good, my answer to that is always, neither do we as Christians. What has happened to us as believers? Are we constantly brought into the family of God and then Jesus each and every day calls us up and says, come on in, it's performance review time. It's performance review time. You've not been quite as nice as you were supposed to be this week. You've not quite lived up to every jot and tittle of the Scriptures this week. I'm sorry, but if you keep on this path, let me tell you what's going to happen to you, brother Christian, sister Christian. You're going to wind up in hell. That's where you're going to be. Is that how Christianity works? No is the answer to that. And if I ever get up here and preach that, you guys cart me out of here. Find me something else to do because I'm preaching a false gospel. I'm preaching something that's not true. Boot me, slam out of this church if I ever preach that the gospel is according to works. Because the reality is that we are not constantly going to Jesus for a performance review. We are constantly going to Jesus in need of His grace. And what draws us near to God is not what we are capable of doing, but instead what Jesus has already done for us. Listen to what the Scripture says. Therefore, brothers, verse 19, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, these are all things that are shortened versions of things that the author of Hebrews has already explained to us that Jesus has done. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us do what? Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Brothers and sisters, we do not try to walk in holiness. We do not walk near Jesus because we don't want to go to hell. We walk near to Jesus and we live lives of holiness because we've already been saved from hell. We've already been delivered through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of what Christ has done, we have confidence, the Bible says, to draw near to Him. We have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. In other words, the priests used to have to go in with the blood of bulls and goats into the earthly holy places, but now we are able to enter the heavenly holy place where God Himself is by the blood of Jesus. There is a new and living way, a new covenant that He's opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. In other words, the curtain of the temple was torn through the blood, the broken body of Jesus Christ. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, we have now a great high priest who is our advocate before the Father, who is our intermediary between God and man. We now have confidence then to draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith. Brothers and sisters, if we are going to walk close to Jesus, we must be the sort of people who recognize exactly who we are. We must be the sort of people who recognize exactly who we are. We must be the sort of people who have the full assurance of faith, trusting totally in Jesus. We must be the sort of people who have had our hearts sprinkled clean by the blood of Christ. We must be the kind of people who have been washed with pure water, the Scripture says. People have been baptized into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, through that, we ought to draw near to God in joy. I am convinced with all my heart that one reason why churches struggle to be healthy is because the sweet saints in those churches have been fed a diet of legalism and not a diet of the gospel. Because what the gospel does is it draws us near to God. But what legalism does is it pushes us into ourselves. It pushes us toward trying to earn salvation on our own. And I'm going to tell you what that does in your life. It makes you cranky. It makes you angry. It makes you frustrated all the time. It makes you self-righteous. It makes you dependent entirely on your own flesh. There's no spirit at work. And as we get pushed into ourselves, what winds up happening? Well, ourselves start to look a whole lot more like God. And how does that affect our churches? Well, each person is so dependent on their own righteousness that all their opinions start to sound a whole lot like Scripture. All their opinions start to sound a whole lot more important than other people's opinions. And next thing you know, you've got churches fighting over some of the goofiest things anyone could imagine. Why? Because people are focused on earning their way to heaven instead of focusing on the blood of Jesus that was shed for them that allows them to draw near to God with joy. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to go out into a parched land seeking water to quench our thirst. We can go to Jesus, the river of living water, who offers us all that we would ever hope and need for. We ought to draw near to God in joy. Healthy church members walk closely with Jesus, and we walk closely with Jesus precisely because He has redeemed us by His blood. Not only do healthy church members walk close to Jesus Christ, but second point is this: healthy church members hold fast to the truth. Healthy church members hold fast to the truth. 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Healthy church members must hold fast to the truth. What does it mean then to hold fast to the confession of our hope? Well, Scripture makes clear that when you become a Christian, what you are doing is confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And so what the author of Hebrews, I think, is doing is pointing these believers who would read this letter back to that moment when they first met Jesus, when they first knew Jesus. What was it you confessed in that day? For all of us, it's both the same and different. For each and every one of us, it's both the same and different. For some of us, for all of us, it is a confession that I'm a sinner and that Jesus Christ is my Savior and He is now Lord of my life. For each and every one of us, that's central to what it means to become a Christian. But how the Lordship of Christ plays out in each of our conversion stories can often be so different. In my own conversion story, what happened was Jesus Christ broke through my own pride and my own desire to save myself, and my own good deeds that I was trying to stack up for myself to prove that I was a Christian to myself and others. Jesus Christ broke those down. And so for me, to declare that Jesus was Lord meant abandoning some of my religiousness, some of my own self-righteousness, and embracing Him. And to the naked eye for most people, what it looked like was that I was a Christian and I was walking with the Lord. I had to give up things that seemed like good things to embrace Jesus Christ. For other people, they let go of sin. For other people, they let go of careers. For some people, they let go of X, Y, or Z. But that plays out differently in so many of our lives. But we must hold fast to the confession of our hope, knowing that Jesus is Lord, knowing that when we stated our faith originally, we were saying, but it is not only a confession of who Jesus is, but it's a confession of hope. It's a confession of hope. What does that mean? Well, some of you in this room right now made sacrifices to follow Jesus. Each and every one of this room in some way or another made sacrifices to follow Jesus. Some of you right now who are in this room are considering following Jesus, or perhaps you're watching on television and you're thinking about following Christ. Right now, what you're saying to yourself is, I would love to follow Jesus, however, this, that, or the other. However, I'm not ready to get married, but I'm not ready to give up this sexual relationship that I'm in. Or you say, I want to follow Jesus, but right now I just can't imagine giving up this lifestyle of sinfulness that I'm in. Our confession is a confession of hope, not only because we're declaring that Jesus is Lord, but we're hoping in the reality that what Jesus offers us is better than what we can offer ourselves. See, we've got to understand as Christians that Jesus Christ will give us all that our heart desires, and the reality is, in the process, He will often change our desires. You see, those things you were longing for, those things you're longing for to find outside of Jesus, those sins that you're hoping will satisfy you, A, will never satisfy you, and B, what Jesus offers you is so much greater. Why is it then that we hold fast to the confession of our hope? Why is it we do this? Because He who promised is faithful. Jesus is faithful to do what He has promised. Brothers and sisters, hold fast to your confession without wavering, knowing that Jesus is faithful. What are some ways, preacher, where I might be able to hold fast to the truth, hold fast to my confession? Brothers, sisters, stay in the Word. Stay in the Scriptures through personal Bible reading, through Sunday school, through the preaching of the Word of God, through resources. Brothers and sisters, stay in God's Word. Stay in good community. Surround yourself with people who want you to walk with Jesus. And walk with Jesus. Make it your life's goal to walk closely with Christ. But if we are to have a healthy church, we must have healthy members who hold fast to the truth of God's Word. It leads us to our final point today. Healthy church members consistently pursue gospel community. Healthy church members consistently pursue healthy gospel community. Verses 24 and 25 will be our focus in this point. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's so important that each and every person have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. And each and every one of us, what I call walking with Jesus, means we ought to cultivate that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Each and every Christian believer, ought to be committed to growing the kingdom of God, not just their own church, but every church, not just impacting the community through churches, but also through parachurch organizations who fulfill missions that is not narrow to the actual mission of the local church. I believe that those things are extremely important. However, there are ideas afoot out there that seem to think that because those things are important, it means that life in the local church is not important. That we ought not be focused on the local church at all because we ought to be focused on the kingdom. Or we ought not to be focused about growing in the context of the local church because we ought to be focused on our personal relationship with Jesus. But I want you to know something right now. I want to make this as plain and clear as I can make it. We, every single believer, ought to be in covenant community in the local church. Every single believer ought to be growing in their personal relationship with Jesus and impacting the world through the kingdom of Christ through the context at some level of a local church. Jesus said, "I will build my church." It's these local churches that ultimately are God's plan for reaching the world. Healthy church members consistently pursue gospel community. The Bible says we ought to be good at stirring folks up. Now, some of y'all are good at that. Some of y'all are great at getting people stirred up. And I'm not going to point or name any names or anything like that. But some of y'all are good at stirring folks up. And some of y'all are like, "Man, alive this whole time. I've been doing what the Bible says. I've been getting everybody stirred up about stuff. And I've been getting folks all stirred up about nothing. And this is what the Bible wants me to do." No, the Bible does say to stir one another up. But listen to what the Scripture says. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Man, some of y'all are master networkers. Some of y'all are master networkers. I know this. I've seen this, and I think it's a good thing. But God gave you that ability to network, And God gave you that ability to make connections with lots of people in order that you might be the sort of person who gets them constantly stirred up to love and good works. Don't you see the way that Satan will sometimes hijack the good gifts of people? Y'all ever seen it in the choir before? Anybody in the choir ever seen that? God gifts people in certain ways, right? God gifts people in certain ways, and He wants you to use, we always say things like, man, they use their powers for good. Isn't that a good thing? When people use their powers for good and not for evil. God gives you giftings, and He gives you these networks. He gives you a telephone or a Facebook or whatever else so that you can stir one another up to good works and love for one another. How do we do that? Now, what I don't want us to do is to use those networks to stir one another up to being busybodies, or stir one another up to gossip, or stir one another up to grumbling, things that the Bible explicitly calls sin, but to stir one another up to love and good works. Brothers and sisters, how are you regularly working toward doing that? How are you regularly working toward encouraging one another in love and good works? If we are to have a healthy church, we must have members who are working in healthy ways to develop beautiful gospel pathways, beautiful gospel networks, stirring one another up to love and good works. Here's what else the Bible says. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Not only ought we to be stirring one another up to love and good works, but we ought to be here. Now, this is summertime, right? And listen, I get summertime 100%. In fact, Whitney and I are leaving today after everything's done here at church. We're going to get out of town for a few days down at the Gulf to rest. I think one of the most beautiful things that God gave His people is the ability to rest. I think it's so important. I think it's so important that we take vacations when we can. If you work somewhere, I want to encourage you right now, leave no vacation days on the table at the end of the year. Somehow or another, that became one of these things that people seem to be proud of. Don't be proud of that. Go spend time with your family. Take time to rest. If God can stop and rest, who doesn't need rest on the seventh day after creating the world, you can stop and rest and take your vacation time. And if I look around and I see wives elbowing husbands, I'm going to call you when I get back from vacation, all right? But really, spend your time away. Enjoy the time of rest and relaxation that God has given you. You are not Jesus Christ. You are not Superman. The world will continue on while you're off getting a break and getting rest. But when you come back, pour yourself out for the glory of Christ. Not only in your vocation, but in your church. Here the Bible says so clearly, don't neglect to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is a Bible verse I would argue about church attendance, about meeting together with the people of God. Now, I want to say that one of the things that troubles me often as a pastor, and this isn't necessarily a First Baptist thing, but just a church at large thing. One of the things that troubles me so deeply is the way that God's people talk about church as if it's a commodity that they consume. Well, are we going to go today? I just don't know. I'm not real crazy about that sermon series, and I'm not real crazy about the song we're singing that day, and so-and-so is going to be out, you know, that's not really my thing, and I don't know, it's been boring a couple times, and I just don't, you know, all these kinds of things, as if what we're doing is going to the movies. I'm just not really into superhero films, and so I just don't think so tonight. Brothers and sisters, this is not a product we consume. This is a place where we meet together because we are exiles and aliens in a world that is hostile to us. We come here not because we are desperate to be entertained. We come here because we desperately need God's people to help us grow in our faith. We come here because we desperately need to hear God's word and grow. We do it because we desperately need the saints of God. We do it because we desperately need a respite from the world. We do it because we like to demonstrate to a watching world that our desires are not our Lord, but our King Jesus is our Lord, and He has commanded us to be here. We do it because we like to come here to a census of the kingdom of God that is a declaration to powers and principalities all over the planet and beyond that Jesus Christ is Lord in this one little pocket of Gadsden, Alabama, that no matter what may be happening in the world around us, there is a place where Jesus is Lord, and it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not one of these guilt-inducing pastors. I don't like that. I don't like doing that. And in some ways, some of these things are kind of weaknesses for me. Because if folks kind of lay out of church for a while, I care about you and I love you, but it's hard for us sometimes to keep track of who's where, when, and everything else. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, as a called, born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is your responsibility to come to church. It's your responsibility to fellowship with the saints. Listen to what the Scripture says. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Brothers and sisters, the horizon of our lives is not our social calendar. The horizon of our lives is not what's going on at work. The horizon of our lives is not whether or not our kids are obeying that week. The horizon of our lives is not whatever thing you've lost your patience with 5 or 6 times this week. Those feel like the horizon of our lives. Those feel like what we concentrate on. And if you can't get me through that, I don't really care about anything else. Brothers and sisters, the horizon of our lives is the reality that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and one day He's coming again. One day He's coming to renew this world. He's coming to judge both the living and the dead. Jesus is coming again. That is the horizon of our lives. That is what we are pointing to. So many of us allow what's going on in the world to be the ceiling of what we think about. Therefore, there's a reason why we don't want to go to church. There's a reason why dog and pony show churches that have no content but nothing but entertainment draw crowds and crowds and crowds of people. It's because we've become at home in this world. But the reality is that our eyes are being drawn upward by the Scriptures, by faithful gospel preaching. They're being drawn upward to see the risen Lord in all of His glory. That is the horizon of your life. And if you start to see the fact that one day this world will end and all that's around us will fade away, and one day there will be nothing but Christ and His kingdom, we begin to not only be drawn toward Jesus, but we begin to be drawn toward the preaching of the gospel, the fellowship of the saints, because we want a taste today of that which is to come tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, don't be so at home in the world that you need a church that either looks like it or you don't want to be around the church, you don't think you need it. Be so at home with Jesus that you desire and long to be among His people. Goodness gracious, God is glorified on days at church that are boring. Just regular old days. I'm just going to tell y'all, I love a standard day at church. I'm talking about the day that as a preacher you start to get depressed about. You know, boy howdy, it's raining today. Everybody here was more wet than this on the day they joined the church. We got a bunch of Baptists scared of the rain, so it's raining. They're not here. Look around. But folks, God's glory is in a regular day at church. God's glory is in a standard day. God's glory is in a group of people loving each other, fellowshipping together regularly over time for the glory of Christ. God's glory is in that. Do not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. I think we analyze that habit, like I've said, I think it boils down to worldliness. Are we so at home in the world that we don't even need our brothers and sisters in Christ? If we are to have a healthy church, we must consistently pursue gospel community. When you're in town, make it a habit to be here, and perhaps over time you'll start to see the way that God is making you need the fellowship of the saints. Brothers and sisters, we can do all that we want with these buildings, but unless we have a healthy church, what we do is for naught. And so today I want to offer an invitation to us this morning. It's so simple. First of all, if you've never met Jesus for the first time, come to Him today and find rest. Turn from your sins in repentance. Turn to God in faith. Trust in Jesus for the first time. Second of all, you may be a believer, but you may say, I've not been walking with Christ as I should. I would love to pray with you today, counsel with you today. And finally, you may be looking for a church home. Folks, we are not a perfect church. We don't have a perfect preacher, that's for sure. But I want you to know something. We are doing all that we can do as a church to be faithful to God's Word and be faithful to Christ and to reach the world around us. And so I want to encourage you today, if you're interested in being a member here at First Baptist, I'd love to talk to you about what membership looks like here at First Baptist Church. After this prayer, I want to invite you to come. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank You so much for Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank You for all that He's done for us. And we pray that the truth of the gospel would motivate us to Christ-likeness and godliness. Lord, continue to form us and mold us into a healthy, gospel-centered, Bible-based church. It's in Jesus' name we pray.